Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at The Liars Club, by the way, we're a podcast and a game. We ask two of our comedy pals to come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is a truth, one is a lie, and then we will pepper them with questions and try to figure out which one is the lie. Now, if you're listening to me on Spotify or iTunes or Podbean, just know that every Monday we go live from the Comedy Store's YouTube page at 4:30-ish, and most Fridays at 7:30-ish. 8:30-ish. Thank you, my queen. Thank you. Anyway, so here we go. And people are playing along. They'll ask questions too. And we'll have our on-air producer here, Austin Lane Walker, and also behind-the-scene on-air producer who will pop up on the camera. And if you hear a strange voice coming in, that is Mr. Michael Evans, yeah. Ginger extraordinaire.
Transginger.
Thank you. Yes, you are. All right. So, Austin, would you please introduce our guest?
Absolutely.
Today?
Absolutely. All right, everybody, on your best behavior, because the teacher is in. He's sitting right next to Jess. This man has performed with some of the greatest comics of all time, George Lopez and Brad Garrett, to name a couple, all after spending 10 years in a classroom, Jessica. Can you believe that?
Yes.
You can catch him NSYNC over at the Ice House in Pasadena. He's known as the teacher comedian. He is Mr. Jimmy Burns.
Hello, everybody.
Yay!
Amazing.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Jimmy Buckley,
yes. Which is impossible to do.
We broke away from each other. That was it. It used to be Buckley. Now I wanted to be Burns. So this is it, baby.
There was a miscommunication on how his name was spelled on our YouTube page. If you're playing along, our second guest, please.
Man,
and down to business.
Teacher might be in the house, but so is the bitch. All right.
This fella's face might be familiar from shows like Angel from Hell or Superstore, which I was also on. He's got an album called Fantastic.
Extra.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you adding your credits
to my credits.
That's fun.
That's my 9 seconds of fame. Thank
good,
you.
Good, 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 good.
He has an album called Fantasticular Hilaritation available for download, and he's also a testicular cancer survivor. His name is Mr. John Huck.
Yay! Wow, John. Impressive.
I didn't know you were a testicular cancer survivor.
Yes, I have one testicle.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. I was dating this guy and he had one testicle because he had testicular cancer completely in remission or whatever. And they put a fake ball in there. Do you have a fake ball?
I don't. When I was going under for the surgery, I asked the doctor, do you have any other questions? And I go, yeah, is there like a fake one you could put in? And at the time, I was 19, so this was...
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, this is a long time ago, yeah. And they were like, "Well, they're just starting to sort of test those, and they're called nudicles. They're only testing them on dogs."
And he goes,
"If a couple years go by and you want one, we could put one in." And I was like, "I'm probably not going to come back in to have you touch my dick again to put the thing in there."
That's what I was going to say. They do. You can do that with dogs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why would you want your dog to look anatomically correct? I hope I'm saying that word correctly.
You are. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Men. Okay. Men think like it's a thing with them. It makes them feel like
half
a man. Yeah, you hurt them.
Less
you hurt your
man.
Dog. You want him to feel like he's got his balls on him, you know?
Okay.
Doesn't want to be mocked by other dogs.
Pretending you know what men want with
I know
dogs,
what men
balls.
Want. Yeah, I mean.
By the way, I'm so happy to see you, Jessica. Jessica, before we start the game, has been on the road for like 2.5 weeks. You worked in Birmingham. Tell us a little bit about that. Was that fun?
So much fun. That club is beautiful.
Uh-huh, the Stardome. It is.
Oh, did my aunt come see you?
I don't know. She said she couldn't make it.
Oh, man. Shame. Yeah.
That's Huntsville, right? Or no?
Way to add to the podcast.
Well, it would have been great if she did.
Technically Hoover, but it's Birmingham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, great place, great place. And then you were in the Big Pine Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I had a really good time. My highlight of that was I was telling these guys I went to Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought was a nudist colony.
Oh, yeah.
B-A-R-E.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought it was something else.
Yeah. We can all guess. Well, I'm glad you're back. And
I'm glad to be. I missed you guys.
We missed you,
Leah
too.
Leah says she missed you.
Yeah. Oh, I miss Leah most of all.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Do you have a Mickey Mouse watch on?
No, it's actually Nicktoons. Not to be confused with Disney.
What are we in the 90s?
Yeah, they can see that on the camera,
school.
You guys.
Courtesy
all
of my
right.
sister-in-law.
Here we go. So let's see. I think John, you have been on the podcast before. When we
correct.
First started the podcast a little bit over a year ago, we used to sneak around here at the Comedy Store.
I didn't realize it was such a sneaky thing.
We were
like, I'm sure I just walked in like, I'm here to do a podcast.
Like,
I wasn't like being quiet.
But why don't you start with your story?
Okay. Not many. I have a fairly well-known story about taking a dump in an alley in Munich, Germany, years ago. But a lesser-known story that I have not
thank goodness
really ever told people was that, like, about a week and a half before that incident, I was traveling through Europe with a couple of my friends, the same guys that were involved in that other story, and we were trapped, not trapped, I shouldn't say trapped. We got to Paris, France a little bit late in the day, and there was nothing. We were kind of broke at this point, so we had to camp, and the only place to camp was out, like a little bit outside the city. So we were, one day we went into Paris, and we were, like, the whole idea was to go see Jim Morrison's headstone at the cemetery. And we got to the cemetery and we wandered around and we, like, you can open mausoleum doors. We were being just idiots and pushing each other around and laughing. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, by the way, the cemetery is closing. So we tried to run to the headstone and we got surrounded by, like, whoever worked there. They're like, you got to get out of here. So we never got to see Morrison's headstone. And then we ended up the next day.
Well, what time of day was that?
It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I guess they started shutting it down at that point. And we got back to the campsite that night, and then we thought we could, like...
Oh, you're camping at a campsite.
Yeah,
did
well...
I miss that story? That
no, well,
story?
Yeah, we had to camp because we didn't have any money to stay, like, a hostel or anything. But the camp, it wasn't, like, I shouldn't say campsite. It was, like, a...
Park? It was just
yeah,
a park.
Yeah, it's kind of... Well, it was just, like, a big field.
A homeless encampment?
No. We stayed in cages. It was fine.
Were there
it was
fires
like
in a trash can, a tin trash can nearby?
No, there was... It was, like, it was a giant fenced-in area that had, like, its own sort of, like...
Immigration police
club, like a
club,
not a club. I don't mean a club, but like a place that they could like. What would you call it? Like a hall,
a YMCA?
like a town hall, like just a big empty
Woodman of the World building.
What?
A Woodman of the World building?
That can't be a thing.
What is that? What is that?
Well, kidding.
It's a thing. They have insurance and everything. You can get life insurance through them.
I have no idea. This was
Woodman of the World.
Literally so
and they
long
have
ago.
Woodman of the World buildings. I had my 13th birthday party in one.
Omaha, Nebraska. It's called the WW Building. Yep. Woodman of the World.
Yeah.
See? Really?
Yeah.
What kind of Thank horse you, shit Jimmy. Is this?
I got really? Your back, Jessica.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right. All right.
All right. So.
Woodman of the World.
like
what?
So we get back to the campsite and we think we're going to like shower up and then go out for the night. And it turns out as we're getting ready to go.
Where were you going
to
shower then?
Well, it was like it was a campsite, but it wasn't a campsite. It wasn't like how you'd go to an HO, like a KOA or anything like that. Uh-huh. It was like makeshift in a way, but they had restrooms and they had showers and they had this building that they had events in.
In Paris?
It was out like a little bit outside of Paris.
Okay.
So we had to take public transportation to get in and out of the city. And that afternoon, we were like, oh, we'll go back into the city and we'll hang out.
Did anybody speak French
everybody.
That was with you?
No. Nobody spoke French that was with us. But around us, everybody spoke French. And when we realized that the public transportation had stopped running in that area, there was no way for us to get to Paris in the city. You know, so we were like kind of stuck. And we had kind of drank all our bottles of wine that we'd bought earlier. And we were out of booze. And that wasn't going to fly for us at that point. So
is this a drunk giant walking story?
No.
No, remember the last time you did the podcast? Didn't you talk
no,
about...
No, it was with Carl. Carl did a drunk...
giant walking story.
Yeah.
No, but I think he had one too.
I mean, when I get drunk...
Oh, yes.
When I get drunk, I don't pass out. When I black out, I don't sit down or pass out. I like do walk around.
See, I told you.
That's a true thing.
See?
But this was like, we didn't know what to do. We're out of booze. We were eating like, I'm talking crackers out of a plastic bag that we had, you know, that was our dinner. And then that hall, that little like whatever that event place was, all of a sudden I hear music and I'm seeing people coming in. And they weren't like people out of the campsite because we all looked like we would be camping. And these people looked like they were dressed to go to a nightclub. And so I'm like, you know, I'm literally wearing ripped jeans and a dirty T-shirt and a hat. And I walk over to this girl who's checking off names. And I go, hey, what's going on in here? And she's like, oh, it's some MTV Paris thing. And I was like, what? I go, oh, well, I'm here with my two friends and we'd like to go in. And she looked at me and she was like, no.
She speaks think, pretty good English so. For.
Well, she was French she spoke English. Yeah, she spoke English. So she
convenient.
Yeah, you guys are like a bunch of real Columbos.
Hey, we have the courtesy to sit here and listen to your long ass story. You don't have the courtesy
to
treat us with
it'd go quicker if you stopped interrupting me. I'd be done already.
Okay, true.
So I'm talking to this lady. I'm like, hey, me and my friends want to go in. She says no. And I walk away defeated at first. Then I was like, you know what? I've got nothing else going on. So I walk back over to her and I go, look, here's what you can do. You can let me and my friends in, or I can stand here all night and just be annoying. And she goes, she kind of like, she waits a second. She's like, all right, okay, I'll let you guys in, but just don't like, don't get super drunk. Don't be annoying. And I was like, oh, that's not what we do. We're not like that. We're from America. So we get in and there's like, it's boxed wine, literally lining this bar. And I just start filling up my cup and we ended up like tipping over a couple of these boxes and just finishing them. And there was dancing. So we're dancing and there's women in sashes. And like, I can't even remember what the sashes say, but it was some sort of a pageant sash, but I don't know what it was. I think probably because I was hammered, but like, at a certain point, I'm dancing with some like a beautiful woman, and I'm noticing that everyone's laughing at me. Like everyone around is laughing at me. Like obviously, this isn't like she's mocking. You know what I mean? Like I'm a joke at this point. So I look over. My friend like does one of those Skippy Handelman things from Family Ties. He tries to cross his legs and he like falls out of his chair. And I'm like, uh-oh. And the bouncer comes over and grabs him. And then he grabs my other friend and he goes, hey, are you with them? And I go, yeah. And the next thing I know, we're all being shoved out the back door. And then we were outside. And I was like, oh, I guess we got kicked out. So by that point, though, we were real drunk. My friends, I guess, went to the tent. And I woke up kind of around, like there was this big metal garbage can sort of, you know, feet, yards away from our tent. And I woke up on the ground, kind of curled around it. Like not cuddling it, but like around it. I can't.
Spooning?
Not really. I was more like.
Trash can?
Like if this was I was like, my body was like, I don't know. I can't really explain it. But so I'm like, oh man, I didn't make it to the tent. I was like feet away from the tent. So I finally, I go to the tent and I get in and I go to get in my sleeping bag and I'm like, ooh, what? What smells like poo? And then I'm like, oh, is that me? And then I like, so I run to the bathroom because I'm like, I think I shit my pants. And when I get to the bathroom, I have clearly shit my pants. And, but not in a messy way. Literally, no, I'm talking like I sat on a brownie. Like that's what it looked like.
You sat on a dried brownie.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then it got it warm, and then it got kind of mushy. But it wasn't like a runny mess or anything. It was like this. And so I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I was like trying to figure out how to, I didn't have that many clothes with me anyway. And then all of a sudden, like a janitor or a guy cleaning the bathroom will not stop banging on the door. He's like, hey. And he's not speaking English. And I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a shit. Get out of here. And he won't leave me alone. So finally, I just take off my underwear with the poop in it and I just leave it on the, I'm out. And I just took off. And then I had two pairs of pants. So I had to wash the pair of pants that I had just shit in. And the washer and dryer over there aren't very good. So I'm at this laundromat area and we're washing. And my friend walks by and he goes, oh, you drying your pants? Hey, can I throw my towel in there? And I go, you might not. And he opens the thing and throws the towel in the dryer. So I'm like, okay. And then the way we trap, like when the stuff, it wasn't, didn't dry all the way. So he takes his half wet towel and puts it on the outside of his backpack that we all had backpacks, and he goes to put his backpack on, and as he does, the towel swings around and like hits him in the mouth, and he's like, "Oh my god, that smells like shit!" And I was like, "Ah, oh, yeah, crap my pants," and that was pretty much it. That's the story. He's like, "I crap my pants." My friend actually put it in his mouth by accident, and then I ended up wearing those pants again, and then losing a different pair of pants in Germany.
Jesus Christ!
That was a well-rounded fucking story.
It was a good trip. It was a good trip.
I just would like to point out he passed on the story where he took a shit in the alley.
Because that one everybody knows. That one everybody knows. Because I'm classy. Because I'm trying to show some class, guys.
By the way, how can you sit on a dried out brownie and then have so much shit in your pants that even after a wash, a towel smells like shit?
To be a professional.
I think not only that,
he was drinking wine or drinking whatever all night, and you mean to tell me you that had that solid of a poop?
I'm telling you, man, it was a brownie. Wow.
Then how can it be all over your pants to the point?
It wasn't all over my pants. Uh-huh. It was like I had shit in them, and I needed to wash them. I wasn't like, oh, there's poo everywhere. It was like, okay, I gotta, like, if I, I'm gonna wash this shirt after I wear it because it'll probably have armpit sweat in it. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I do laundry. I like to have clean clothes. Yeah. So I was like, I only have two pairs of jeans. I can't just have one.
No, we understand that part, but we're just debating how much.
Yeah, if you threw the underwear away and then you washed, even if it wasn't a very good washer, your pants wouldn't have smelled like poo. And it wouldn't, definitely wouldn't have then transferred it to a towel.
We should probably let Austin here go to the audience.
Well,
he looked at me like I got info.
Right off the bat, Dark Star says that sounds like John is full of crepe.
That is very good. That is very good.
Yeah, yeah. And Melody Martinez says, damn, old man Ron Weasley is really going hard in this story. And Michael in there said, Snowplow Man from Snow Day. Yeah, really going after.
His name is Chris Elliott.
That's what I said. Yeah, we can do that.
What do you think, Michael?
I mean, I don't know. It's like I need to hear another story for sure. Because, I mean...
This was 98, so it was so long ago that my like memory and my recollection, and I don't tell the story on stage, and it's not part of my set, so it's not...
Yeah, we can see why.
It's not as detailed as I was remembering it back then.
I saw somebody say in the comments about that something about box wine in Paris.
Yeah, Hostetter.
Did that seem out of place, or was that some sort of...
It was like, the woman there who was letting me in was... I clearly spoke English, and everybody else inside, no one spoke English, so I don't know... Look, it was a weird, I can't even explain to you, it was like this weird camping area. It wasn't like in Paris. It was some random B room of
I
things
just can't
happening.
See,
you know?
I'm in
MTV.
So far, John. I believe it so
no,
far.
No, I can't see MTV taking over a Woodman of the World building and doing something like that.
Really? Yeah, when I back in the day, I don't mean to brag about my shitty comedy career.
It'd be like being in a Moose Lodge.
92, but
exactly
back in the day,
like
they would go, MTV would go to weird locations, and you would do comedy in a bunch of different weird places.
In a Moose Lodge?
No, I did it once on the beach. I did,
yeah,
did it once.
Yeah,
that like,
but
yeah.
Why would you go to Paris and then go to the outskirts of Paris
MTV
in a campsite?
MTV Paris. He said it's, oh, you're talking about him or MTV?
It was in this building. Uh-huh. That's where MTV was. He says it's in this
building. That's where this party was. I don't think they were basing the operations of MTV out of there. I mean, they can have an offshoot. And I've been to parties where, like, it's an NBC party. And you walk in, you go, what does NBC have to do with this? And you're like, we have NBC on the TV. And you're like, wait, what? And you know, I mean, it was just literally some random sash thing. It was like they were probably trying to beef it up by calling it MTV. I honestly don't know. I saw no cameras. I saw no evidence of a production of any kind.
Well, Ken Lofgren's big hang-up online is that you said you didn't have enough money to pay for a hostel in Paris, and he can't imagine going to a foreign country without enough money to have, you know, stay in a hostel.
We'd been there for about a month at this point, wandering Europe, and I have no control over the way I spend money, so I spent like pretty much everything I had. When I got back to America, I went to an ATM, and I was like, oh, I still have $400 left, and then I looked at the receipt again, and it said negative $400. I was like, and this was before... there were ATMs, so this was like, it wasn't before ATMs, but it was...
Did you guys have cell phones?
No.
How did you find out about this place out on the outskirts of Paris then?
Yeah, nobody spoke French.
No, people spoke French, what? Jessica.
No, he did. Not in his... Not in the daughter party.
Also, if you go, if you are American and you travel abroad, you'll find out that the American people are the dumbest, and most of us don't speak multiple languages, whereas everyone else, everywhere else, speaks at least two.
Guess what? I've been to France.
Okay. Whoa. I mean, I'm not going to be able to show you on a map where the
not
fuck
at Epcot,
this place
Jessica.
Was.
Not the one at Epcot, the one...
I've been to small... It's a small world.
Oh, my God, Jessica. Can you do that? I've been to France.
You should just say that to people regardless. Unprovoked. Walk up to strangers. I've been to France.
Been to France, bitch.
Oh, well, la-di-da. Excuse me, Miss Cheese and Crackers.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, we're going to move now on to Jimmy's first story.
Oh, man. I don't... Mine's about taking a shit.
No, is it?
No, it's
okay.
not.
We expected more from you.
Thank you.
Being a teacher and all.
Used to be. Let's make that clear by the podcast because I'm not in the classroom anymore. So
yeah, by the way, Jimmy Burns was my first comic friend here in Los Angeles when I first came to Los Angeles, very first, when I was doing open mics.
We used to try to see how many open mics we could get in one night.
Yeah.
Westwood Comedy Store was still available.
Westwood. Oh, the Comedy Store was still there. The Westwood Comedy Store.
No, wow. It was right after that. It was, I think, right after that.
Never mind.
Okay.
Okay, that's my lie.
All right, so what's your story?
My story is on the road. It was '80s, late '80s, and working in Indianapolis, Comedy Connection. Megan Chicken Patty, anybody work for them?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Megan Chicken Patty?
Okay, I got to explain it. You said that. Chick was the guy's name, the husband. Patty was the wife's name.
Chick and Patty.
And together, they would be Chick and Patty. And everybody would always go, who you work for? Chicken Patty. What? Anyway, they owned the Indianapolis Comedy Connection, which was downtown. And they eventually went to the Broad Ripple, which was in Broad Ripple part of Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they were very cool because they really appreciated comics and they treated them civilized and all that stuff. They used to put us up in the Winter House.
Oh, I did play that gig.
Yeah. Yes. And remember, they got each comic their own studio apartment. And did you know this? Did you know this? Because I used to work there a lot. They were my favorites. They put each comic on a different floor because they figured if comics didn't get along, they would never see each other. And if they did get along, they would find each other.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's smart. So
this takes place in that club?
Yeah, no, this takes place in the Winter House.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. So I'm getting ready for the show because, you know, we used to get rides. We'd go down the front door and I'm getting ready for the show. And I hear next door, I hear some laughing and then I hear a little screaming and then there's some banging around. And I'm going, well, there's a party next door, I guess. Who knows? Whatever. We go do the show. Come back from the show. Did they have the?
How did the show go? Did you do well?
I don't even remember. The show always went well in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Unless it was a Sunday night.
All right. So you're in that house.
So we get dropped off at the front door
uh-huh.
of the Winter House.
Okay.
And there's a coroner vehicle.
Uh huh.
And I went, oh, that's next to my room. Being funny, ha 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 ha. And the comics, really? And I go up to the elevator, and I go to my hallway, and there's blood on each door on the hallway, up and down the hallway.
You know, they let you in?
Yeah. Okay.
That's the
or
same,
wait, what should I
that's
say?
That's the same
yes?
face she,
no?
she makes when she sees a guy.
She's
big.
Been to Paris.
Well, I've been to Indianapolis.
Very similar. Okay. Very similar. Okay.
No, what I'm saying is you come up the elevator, uh-huh. doors open, and I step out in the hallway, and there's blood up and down the hallway on the doors.
Okay. But she's saying the police actually let you in on a crime scene?
Well, yeah. Oh, you know what? That's
even or like yeah, even the coroner, maybe, if it was like not a...
Coroner pulled away. Coroner was...
Don't give
away.
Your story up no matter what, Jimmy Burns.
I'm not giving it up.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of blood on each? Or it's like a handprint?
Like a smear.
Yeah, okay. All
like
right.
a smear. Not like drops of blood. Not like...
But like...
A, yeah. Like and there was even on my door.
Uh-huh.
So I go in the door and I, you know, it's weird. So I go to bed. But in the morning, there's a knock on my door, and I answer the door. And here's this young lady, not bad looking. Her jeans are half unzipped.
Everything's coming up, Jimmy.
And she says, "Do you have any food?" Well, she said, "Do you have any food?" I went, "No, I really don't have any food." I'm next door, and the police said I have to stay here. I can't go out anywhere, and I'm hungry. I wondered if you had some food. And I went, no, I don't. And she said, there's blood everywhere in my place. And I go, really? And she went, you want to come see the blood? And I went, no, I really don't. And then she went away.
You didn't ask her what happened?
No.
Jimmy Burns, the least inquisitive man of all time. There's blood everywhere. Oh, yeah, no, I'm out of food. All right, bye.
But I was... Well, I was telling the other comics, you know, like, hey, and somebody goes, well, did you fuck her? And I went, no.
No. Did you read about in the newspaper what had happened or anything? You ever find out? Like, I need to know this stuff.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Did you tell the other comics?
Yeah.
And what did they say?
Did you fuck her?
Other than that, they didn't say anything?
Nope.
True. True.
Male comics want to know if you fucked a murder accomplice. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, you're right. I can't believe what you're saying because it's true. Nowadays, the whole yellow tape would be...
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to get back into the building.
It was before yellow tape,
floor,
guys.
Let alone the building.
Right.
Before yellow
but
tape.
How long did you get there after the crime had happened?
You know, we went to the... they used to have a bar that we... Point, the old point.
Uh-huh.
So we used to go to the old point.
Oh, the old point.
The old point.
I don't know, that sounds like a detail I wouldn't have remembered, but that's good.
Well, it's the old point because it's on a triangular block. It comes to a point. The old point. Oh, we used to go there and drink and eat, and it was great.
Yeah, the 3 days we were there. We used to go there all the time.
We were regulars by day two.
Hey, I almost moved to Indianapolis.
Oh, really?
Well, there was a woman, of course.
Oh,
was she covered in blood?
Yeah.
Hungry? Need something to eat?
Jimmy, did you stay there that night?
Yeah.
Man, my only hang up with this story being true or not is how little you seem to give a shit.
Like, and you were a teacher. You would be concerned.
He just shrugs
fresh
like
out of the classroom.
Murder's gonna happen.
That's your monkey, Jessica. No, teacher's monkey.
A girl is like, "Do you wanna come see the blood?" And she runs away, you never see her again, and you're just like, "This place is weird," and you just keep hanging out right next to where a murder might have happened.
Yeah. Well, what is he gonna do? He has no money if he's were you headlining in middle?
Maybe
or?
Ask some questions.
I was featuring.
You were featuring? Yeah, you ain't got no money in Indianapolis.
I had a six-pack of Dr. Pepper and a hot dog buns and a jar of peanut butter.
And you weren't giving that up to some murder accomplice.
And I was hanging out at the old point afterwards. You could get all the food you needed.
Right.
Darkstar. Free hot dogs, bring your own buns.
Darkstar asks, was it Passover by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they marked the doors?
They were taking your firstborn.
Oh, well, see, it
do you have any food or a firstborn?
They were looking for help. That's why all the doors were splattered. Not splattered, but...
Yeah, they had walked around the hallway, help me.
Yeah, that's how I found... I did find that out.
Real inquisitive.
That is so scary.
Real inquisitive.
That's eerie as shit.
Did you ever find out who the victim was or what the story was?
Or do you even know that somebody even really died?
Well,
the coroner doesn't usually show up for free.
Maybe
rides.
They thought he was dead.
He wakes up in the thing.
Well, what I didn't understand, and this is what I could see why you would go, this ain't true, is because the cops just said she couldn't go anywhere. She had to stay there.
Which is weird. You wouldn't keep her in the murder scene,
yeah,
would you?
No,
like,
you
that's because she could fuck with the evidence. And
she
like,
was a little weird, too. You know?
Well, really? That doesn't seem nice.
She might have just been loopy because she's hungry.
Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe.
She hadn't eaten anything.
Right.
She hadn't eaten.
You should see my wife when she hasn't eaten anything. It's crazy. She'd murder somebody. Maybe that's what happened. They ran out of cereal.
Well, I love that story, Jimmy Burns. That's
really?
I mean, I don't love this.
Murder's great.
Story, but I'm just saying, like, that's a good, strong story.
It was just one of those things where you go, oh, yeah, the corner of it. That's next to my place. And then I go up and it
was. Is.
It just makes it sound like just one of them days.
Well,
that a guy goes.
I pretty
through.
Much, you know, live and let live.
Live and let live, or don't inquire about anybody dying.
All right.
I'm minding my own damn business.
There you go.
Don't what are your thoughts, Austin? Anybody else saying anything online?
Nobody believes this story online. Lindsay says, did he just watch The Shining, maybe? None of this sounds real.
Right.
Red rum.
I'm running around. I got an axe. I'm chopping through doors. Here's Johnny.
The only reason why I would even think this is a true story, because you're a pretty level-headed, emotional guy, like, from being, you know.
Emotional level? Like, he's level?
Yeah, like, he's, like, he. Okay. I've
even
never
keel?
Seen you. Yes, even keeled. I've never seen you, like, lose your shit or be, like, you know.
I only lost my shit with, Joe Napoli.
That's fair. That's fair.
And it went good around because people went, what did Joe Napoli do to piss you off?
I
Everybody's
know,
going,
yeah.
Jimmy Burns got angry? Lost his shit?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that's why I could believe that part of the story, at least. I'm thinking about someone else that had a club in Indianapolis, and they had like a house that sometimes they'd put comedians in.
Oh, okay.
But it was a huge thing, and
Yeah.
Wow. Let's move on to, unless Michael, you have anything you would like to add?
I don't know. Again, I guess I just got to wait for another. That's
okay.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, but, yeah, so here we go. So, John, your second story.
It's much more recent. My wife works on the show Shark Tank, which is an ABC
I
show.
I love that show.
Most people have that reaction, or I've never seen it, which is
really
my reaction. But
season 10.
You never watched it?
I've seen an episode.
Okay.
Point is, my wife works on that show, and they were nominated for an Emmy. And the way the Emmys work, if anybody doesn't know, there's the primetime Emmys that were on last night, and then last weekend they have two nights of Emmy Awards that go out to the people that are sort of behind the scenes. They
didn't you post a picture about
probably
you guys?
Yeah, probably. and they call a lot of people call them the Nemmys, like the nerd Emmys, because it's like the technical stuff, you know. But they also do like some of the actors get Emmys at that point, like. Norman Lear was there, whatever. But so we went to the Emmys, and Shark Tank we kind of didn't think was going to win because they were up against Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which is a very popular show. And when Shark Tank,
I don't think it's called that anymore.
It's just called Queer Eye.
No, it's called Queer Eye. It's now on Netflix, and
it's not called For the Straight Guy anymore, though.
Oh, yeah, it's just called Queer Eye. Okay, so Queer Eye. Sorry,
they've opened it up.
Leah said, real quick, his wife is Mark Cuban, just so everybody knows.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right. My wife owns the Dallas Mavericks, and that's why I dress like this. So we went, and there was kind of like not a lot of thought that they were going to win, but then they sat us kind of close to the stage. And I was like, well, that might mean something, because last year we sat in the back, you know? I mean, now we're like right there. And we were up around like all like RuPaul's Drag Race crew and a bunch of other different reality shows.
Oh, wow.
That we kind of, I knew some of the people that had worked on all this stuff. So I knew some of the people in the area. And then the awards happen, and then there's the Governor's Ball afterwards, which is just the Microsoft Theater. It's literally across the street, and they basically take over.
You said the awards happen, so did you win?
No, they didn't win.
I was just thinking, Michael Evans, are you getting enough of this second story to see that every story has lots of details from John Huck?
Yeah, I'm definitely, I figured that out by now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not really sure where we're going to land on this one.
Oh.
Are you going to shit your pants soon, or what's going to happen?
There is.
My wife won.
Not my pants, but there is a dump involved, I guess. But what happened at the Governor's Ball, there's like open bar and all this food and everything. You know, you can walk around and there's just a ton of food. And I'm not drinking currently, so I'm like going to have to take advantage of this somehow. So if I can't, you know, drink all the booze, I'm going to eat all the food. So I'm eating as much as I can, but realizing I'd also been kind of eating all day. So at a certain point, I'm like, uh-oh. I have to go to the bathroom. And you go out the back, and the way it's set up, and I honestly don't know how the primetime Emmys are set up, but these Emmys have like a section that's walled off with like fake bushes, and the porta potties are sort of behind these bushes. So you walk through this little thing and you're in the toilet area. And the porta potties were nice. I shouldn't even call them porta potties, because like a porta potty is like a little hovel. You get in and it just smells like shit, and then you got to get out as fast as you can. These were like bigger. They were like, it was like a movie star trailer toilet.
I've been in a nice porta potty.
Thank you for describing porta potties for all of us.
In case no one's had to take an emergency dump at a Fish concert,
it's called a luxury loo. Okay. That's what they called
that. That's exactly what these were. They were obviously clearly trailers that were towed in and then placed in this section. Okay. They were very nice. Somebody was maintaining them the whole
night. You like to describe an outside area. I'll give you that, motherfucker. So
I'm just wanting everyone to know they're not like right outside the back door where everyone's hanging out. So I go, and in my head, I assume all the people that are a name or some sort of celebrity are using a different toilet. So I go in, and I am usually really good about this. I usually lock the door. And I thought I did, but this was set up to the point where, like, you know, sink, toilet, but then the door is probably a little, like, where the lock would be, where I could hold it closed if I had to, where I could get to it, probably a little past, like, close to you, but not anything I could reach from a sitting position. So I'm doing my business, and I'm getting rid of the food that I ate, and, I could almost touch Jimmy's nipple. And all of a sudden, RuPaul walks into the bathroom.
Oh, how lucky are you?
Just like, and I'm like, oh, no, occupied. And, and it was just like, I don't know how much RuPaul everybody watches, but it was a very, I would expect nothing.
What was RuPaul dressed in?
It was similar to what it was like a suit with a bow tie. Like he had like,
and why would he be at the one that was for people behind the scenes?
Oh, his show won a ton of,
they won
best reality competition show. They won the kind of awards that are not given out at the primetime. He was there with his crew and the people that he works with to accept those awards as well. He got up and he spoke at that one.
Didn't Norman Lear, you mentioned him, he won some kind of lifetime.
He got a lifetime achievement award at the primetime Emmys. They brought him out, but the Creative Arts Emmys on night one, he was there sitting like, you know, 4 feet in front of me. Norman Lear is a huge deal in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he's like 97 or something crazy. But anyway, so my story is RuPaul accidentally walked in on me taking a duty. And then very polite, closed the door, got out of there. It was like, and then like, gone.
So Shark Tank did not win.
Shark Tank did not win. Is that we're all gleaning from this? Thank you. Yes. No, Shark Tank.
Yeah, well, why did you give that piece of that little nugget in the beginning?
So I could explain to you why I was at the Creative Arts Emmys. I didn't just walk in and start taking
guns. You didn't need to say, you know, the oversight up front, though. Like that was.
Hey.
We didn't need any of that.
Take a breath. It's okay.
No, I'm just curious. Yeah. Like, if this is extra detail, why were you buffering it?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought I thought it was.
Saying it like yeah. that. All right. I thought you were giving him.
Oh, man. I could have just. Yeah. Because my story would have been 3 seconds long. I went to Creative Arts Emmys. I took a dump. RuPaul walked in.
No, yeah. I thought that felt
and
like
it's
natural.
True.
Well, I don't need to do the recap now, I guess. My one job. Thank you.
I mean, to me, some of the interesting stuff is in the details, but I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, no, I thought that felt like casual conversational detail. Yeah, I don't think that sounded like bullshit.
No, but he started off with this whole thing and like where they sat and all this.
Oh,
like,
I think
well,
I was just saying that because
win.
I thought we were going to win, and I was trying to point out how close I was to...
And then you didn't even say if you won or not. We had to ask.
Oh, because I thought everyone knew. I thought everyone pays attention. My bad.
Lindsay Worth did back Mike up online and said, this story sounds smooth. It doesn't seem like he's trying to remember a lie script.
Well, here's what always gets me when there's...
I type these out. Memorize.
I can already feel this coming where people online are going to go, this one felt natural, like he's recalling something, you know, and the other
one felt... I don't think
it
did.
It also just happened 2 weeks ago.
If you think the last one is a foggier story, it's like, well, we never really give credit to the fact that it was a long fucking time ago, and he was drunk as shit in the first story.
Thank you.
I don't really know how to decipher whether that was clear or not.
But he was sober when he washed his pants, so...
Yeah, he was just full of food.
You're right. That was a situation that was... Okay.
At the Creative Arts Emmys, I was just full of food. In Paris, I was full of boxed wine and poops.
And as a young man, why were you drinking wine instead of like
beer? That's all they had in there. Okay. We were out of booze.
That's probably the only honest
but
thing
no,
you said
all
night.
No, because before they even went into that thing, he said like in the tent or wherever they were, where they were set up there for camp, that they were drinking wine and all of a sudden they were out of wine.
We had two bottles. We drank the two bottles we'd had.
Exactly. Why do young men go buy wine?
I think because we were in Paris and we were like, is this what you do? The same reason I walked around, the same reason I passed out on the Piccadilly Circus steps because I thought you were supposed to.
Melody Martinez says the Shark Tank producer's husband's first story is true and second is a lie. I already got a vote.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, let's move on to Jimmy's. I love it, though. Let's move on to Jimmy's second story.
All righty. Well, you the ex-teacher, I got a teacher story.
Okay.
Yeah.
And first, I think... I don't. They're going to say I'm buffering the story, but
now I'm afraid to give detail on anything. Just like keep it quick.
Well,
I know, but that's a lot of details.
Well, all I'm just saying, I want to make this. I want this on the
record.
Record. Yeah. Thank you. The brain doesn't work like you. I want it on the record that I used to be an elementary school teacher, work with little children, and Felicia, you already said it. What takes tough. To upset me, and it upsets me when I'm setting up some material on stage and somebody hollers, what are you, gay? You work with kids? And you go, what does that have to do with that? What are you doing? And if you like kids, it's pedophilia.
Yeah, not, it has nothing not homosexuality.
And it just makes me mad. I can't even...
So gay, I love kids.
Michael thought that was really funny. I could hear Michael's laugh through the wall.
Well, I'm just... because I want
that's some buffering, all right.
Because I'm saying... it makes me mad, and I can't be funny about it. And because I think anybody who breaks the trust, like a priest or a teacher with a child, should be hung. And
oh, yeah, they're pieces of shit, for sure.
Exactly.
Okay, so what did you do?
How did you get hung, Jimmy? How'd you get hung?
But I'm saying...
I'm waiting for it, too.
After all that, what I'm saying is there's not necessarily not having sex in schools, because as a male in elementary education, even in college, 85% of the students and 85% of the faculty was women.
Uh-huh.
Prime women.
Amazon gentle Prime women.
Young ladies who have hope and we're trying to save the world with their classrooms. And I'm just saying, you know, you're a guy. And we're talking when I was young and I had a reason to have a comb.
Uh-huh.
And I was like 40 pounds
thinner. Yeah, you're a cutie pie.
Thank you.
Was he?
Elephant.
He's a cutie pie.
Elephant bells.
He's
wearing
cute.
Clogs.
Yeah.
Thank you. So anyway, I'm just saying, I was something. Was is the keyword.
He's never understood when people are playing along. So get to the story. Jimmy
doesn't understand sarcasm. He's learning.
It sounds like a children's book. Little Jimmy.
And at the end, it's like, and everyone was just being sarcastic. Oh, this book sucks.
Oh, we didn't have sarcasm in Nebraska.
It might not have. It's legit, like everything you said, take seriously.
Okay.
Gullible.
All right,
so get to the story.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I'm not saying I never hooked up with teachers. Why would you go after children when you got these teachers right there?
Right.
But once upon a time, one year, this young mom She was giving me lots of attention. And because it turned out she later, as the year went on, she had a conference and she's, you know how when women touch your shoulder, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course you do.
Arm touches.
And then a thigh touch when you're in the car and you go, what's going on? You've been so good to my daughter. She was in public school last year and now we were worried about her, Tiffany. And now you are just, she's blending in and she's doing really well. And
wow, she really wanted you to teach her daughter how to read.
So I'm saying, to get to the end, she pleasured me orally.
In a classroom?
In the classroom.
During the parent-teacher conferences?
No.
Oh.
When? How did
after school.
Like,
after school. Like school, the kids
when
go
there
home.
Was still lights up on the outside?
Well, where was her kid?
Yeah.
Dad had the kid at soccer, because you always get... This was a private school in Encino.
Were they divorced or married?
They were married.
Oh.
Get out of town.
This sounds like an 80s porn.
Well, yeah. It was in the 80s.
It was a porn I watched. I mean, it's a true story.
You got to remember, I'm just overwhelmed. You know, I'm supposed to have discipline and all that. But I'm coming from Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm teaching in Encino, and there's money everywhere. And this mom has, you know, the old Mercedes that Richard Gere drives in.
Right, the little one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the
American Gigolo. And I'm just like, I'm just having a great time. And then she's really attractive. And
all right, so how many times did that happen?
Just once. But you know what's good about it?
Well, did you have to turn her down again later? Or did
she pull her daughter from your class?
No, but she dripped a little bit, and on the floor was this drip mark, and it was there the rest of the year, and I would have a bad day, and I would just look down and have a smile.
There's my jizz. Hi.
I was trying to do it more civilized.
No, I'm sure you didn't say it out loud.
All right, that story is so true.
Yeah, Leah concurred and said that Murr from Impractical Joker seems to be telling the truth. And Mike back in the control room said that, one of Jeff Dunham's puppets is also telling the truth.
I've been confused for
the racist old man puppet.
We've had 2 weeks off of nobody naming anybody for some reason.
Thank
so
you.
It's Walter. I've been
Walter.
Wait a minute. I can do it even better.
Okay. Okay.
Wow. Impressive.
That is pretty fucking impressive.
Just doing puppet impressions is something it's not a market out there right now.
People that are only listening could see because it's right on the mark.
I could sit on your lap, John, and we can. You
yeah,
can be the
I'll
dunner.
Put my hand up your.
Boom. Hello. Drop
the mic. All right. So that is. What do you think, Michael Evans? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I like how it worked out for him. If the story is true.
Of course you did.
I mean,
was to completion. Good job.
Well, I mean, early in the story, he said he worked with kids, so I thought he was gay, you know? So
yes. Yeah. So many gay people with the kids.
I did, too, in 1985.
I don't know. It sounds pretty true, and I'm really rooting for 80s Jimmy here.
80s Jimmy. Oh, 80s Jimmy was good. Jimmy.
Encino Man, the original... It's just a quick 10-minute.
Hostetter said, trifling but true.
Yeah, but I want to know what happened after that. Yeah. Was there awkwardness between you guys? Yeah. Did you just go back to normal? Like, give me something
here. How does that
It was
how
towards the end
stop?
Of the season.
But how did... Season?
The old school season. We had a record of 45-6.
I
couldn't be undefeated, but...
I left the private school to go to LA Unified because there was more money and benefits.
Uh-huh. The benefits were more blowjobs.
We shouldn't name the school.
Yeah, I believe all that, but tell me...
I was getting $1,000 a month, and then I went to...
All that. I don't want to know about your money.
But yeah.
I need to know about the connection with this woman. What happened?
Yeah, like did you guys avoid eye contact? Were you hopeful that she would come back into the classroom?
I was
obviously
hopeful.
You were, but did it hurt your feelings when she kind of avoided you?
How did you
feel? Ever see the husband?
This is the thing about
Do you regret
school?
Eating asparagus that night?
How much pineapple do you consume?
Why didn't she
I'm saying,
get on it anymore?
It was weird. I was just happy.
Did you have to give her daughter like an A? Did you like up the kid's grade? No, you didn't. Was the kid an idiot?
No, she was wonderful. Tiffany, she was very sweet.
You said it was the end of the season, but did you just never see her again?
Well, I went left at the next beginning of the school year because to go to LA.
Oh, that was your last year at that school?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was the last day?
No, it was like the last week.
So did you see her again?
No.
Did you see the little girl again?
You know what? I did. She came up. This is weird. Okay.
This is where it gets creepy.
And then 25 years later, I got a blowjob from the kid.
I'm working with Bruce Baum in Malibu.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you might be right.
And I do my teacher stories because on stage I do the, you know, teaching right. classroom and all that stuff. And all this. And so after the show, this very attractive young lady walks over and goes, I have something weird to ask you. Okay, go ahead. Did you teach at... And she names the school, and I went, yeah.
She goes, my mom kiss you? No, she
didn't. Did you eat asparagus on September 17th, 1985? She said,
you were my teacher. And I went, whoa. I can show you a picture if you
was
want.
Was it Tiffany?
It was Tiffany.
I think we're alone now. Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
She's like 40 years old, and it's amazing because, you know, whoa.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
It was like, and Bruce, and it's funny because.
Was he smoother back then?
No.
This is par for the course?
That was probably a highlight. That was probably, I don't mean to hurt
Let's
your
just say this didn't happen a lot.
That was probably
to Jimmy.
Top 10 highlight of his life for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so this is what I thought was weird about it, because she goes, I have something weird to ask you. And Bruce and the other guy, the comics lean in like, what the hell?
I know.
You were my teacher. Anyway. Yeah, I did see her. I saw her that
time
at the show.
Wow.
Well, I meant for the rest of the season, school season. Did you teach the kid again?
No. Well, I mean, after that year?
But you said there was a week left. Yeah, there was a week left. So, was the little girl still in your class for that week?
Yeah.
So every time you saw the kid, were you like, tell your mom I said hi?
I had the most home mothers in the back of my classroom.
Yeah, but you're not answering the question.
I did. Yeah, she was there. I just smiled and that was it. You're right. It was a highlight. Why go? I won.
Okay. All right.
A lot of people get calendars and books and I got a blowjob.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. Any other comments here?
No, I think everybody is pretty much thinking this one could be true. Leah said that she actually did a tambourine dance to the song in a music video at a fair, so she thinks that's a sign that this must be a true story.
Okay. A tambourine?
To the song we were just singing.
I think we're alone now. Oh.
When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner. Michael Evans, any last thoughts?
I'm excited for the recap. I got some sorting out to do.
Okay, let's see what the recap is. Here you go, Austin.
All right, for John's first story, he was trapped in Paris with some guys he took a dump in a Munich, Germany alley with, and they were going to see Jim Morrison's Headstone. They were camping and planned to go out. They couldn't go, so
if
while
you
they
regurgitate
were...
every one of his fucking facts, I will lose my shit.
A little bit lengthy. They couldn't go out, so they're stuck at the campsite. They notice people going in this auditorium, and he speaks to a girl that just so happened to speak fluent English, and they convince her to let them into this party. They go in, drink some box wine. They get shoved outside. He passes out and then finds out that he pooped his pants when he wakes up and then smacked his buddy with the turd towel after that.
Turd towel, that's
no,
nice.
His buddy smacked himself with
the turd towel.
Now, he didn't say it was an auditorium.
But
I think they're just trying to put together what it could possibly. It was just basically like an empty hall that they had just
like a hurricane shelter, basically like a empty building.
A little bit. There was like a bar, and then just
they didn't have it decorated.
It was
party?
Like a almost like a school dance from like a TV show where you'd like it just streamers, but like hung up. Nothing looked professional.
Okay.
That I can remember. Also, again, drunk walking in, blacked out leaving.
Yes.
For his second story, his wife works on Shark Tank, and they were nominated for a Nerd Emmy. So they sat him close up to the stage at the ceremony up near RuPaul and them. And after they go to the governor's ball, where he's hit with a surprise poop, he goes and finds some fancy porta-potties, and then RuPaul invites himself in the bathroom and then won an Emmy over Shark Tank after that.
Well, yeah. Not over Shark Tank. We weren't in the same category. Wasn't it?
Really rubbed salt in the wound there.
Yeah, that was good. Perfect. Whatever.
All right. What's your vote, Michael Evans?
I think that my vote is, both stories sound pretty reasonable. I think my vote is that I think the one that is a lie is the first story.
I think the second story is a lie because of the whole first part of the where he's sitting and stuff. That
well, I think all that's fine and true. I just don't think RuPaul walked in. I think he saw RuPaul there, and they were like right next to RuPaul, and somebody probably walked in.
That's
maybe
true
not RuPaul.
Because either one of those was a add-on. After the fact, either the first part or the second part.
If he hadn't mentioned RuPaul when they sat down and then said that RuPaul was the one to walk in, I would have been like, if it even said anybody else walked in on you, I probably would have believed it. But because it was back to back, I'm going with that one being the lie.
Okay.
Wait, so you're going with RuPaul being a lie?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. That's what I think.
And you're going with the first story.
I'm going with first story being a lie.
Do you guys have to agree?
No, but I just get regretful when I'm the only one not doing something.
By the way, we're not all good at this game.
Nobody
is consistently good ever.
And Jimmy, what do you think? Which one do you think is the lie?
You're not getting a blowjob if you get it right.
Okay. It's okay, he's gay.
That opens up the options.
Leah said that he looked down a lot during the first story's recap, so that could be a telltale sign.
Yeah, you know, I thought also, too, when you were telling that first story, you were looking towards Jimmy like, you get what I'm saying. Like, you had this look on your face that you did the first story to Jimmy that you didn't do on the second story.
Whoa.
It's true. He looked at us more on the second story. It was more like he was with us.
Yeah.
But maybe he just got comfortable.
All right, I say RuPaul's true and Europe's a lie.
You think Europe's a lie, huh?
Well, I think part of Europe is true because I think he told a story once in Italy. Something bad happened in Italy.
No, I told, but it's Germany.
Okay.
It was literally the week after that. Like, my friend was like, that's the worst thing that'll happen to you. And I was like, haha. And then we got to Germany.
Was he
like,
the one with the bridge?
Yes, the
Germany story where I shit in the alley and then I walk and then the guy's like, "Hey, dude, don't walk through the river."
All right. let's not do that. Okay, and I mean that sweetly. So I think that part of the first story is true, but it was all over the place. I'm gonna say the second story is true, even though it's too convenient. So the first story is a lie. How many people first story lie? Raise your hand.
Most people online are going the. Or wait, what do I think? I think the first story is true. Most people online are actually going with y'all.
Yes.
Like almost everybody online.
Wait, what's Kenneth doing? What did Kenneth say?
I'm trying to look here. But he did say, let it be known I am terrible at this game. Huck, first lie, second true, Ken Lofgren said.
Okay. So what is the lie?
The lie is RuPaul walking in me.
Yeah, okay.
I suck at this game.
I know my drag queens, baby.
But the whole thing is like literally that France pooping story is so long ago that some of it is real hazy, but I gave it the best shot.
Yeah, but they all, even though as fucked up and crazy, they were all over the place, but they still connected. That second story.
You didn't think that was necessary for me to talk about.
No.
Trying to get my wife a plug. What's the problem?
No, it wasn't necessary, and you didn't even give us the outcome, so it didn't make any sense. If you were going to tell us, like, oh, they did win or they didn't win, okay then.
Yeah, maybe I should have. Well, because I just thought about that this afternoon, and I looked at my wife and go, I'm going to say RuPaul walked in me taking a dump. She goes, ugh, don't do that. And I go, I'm going to do that. Okay.
That is hilarious. All right, recap Jimmy's stories.
All right, it was the 80s, and he's working for Chicken Patty in Indianapolis, and he's at the winter. He's at their winter house to see a coroner vehicle, and this coroner vehicle happens to be at his room where there's blood splattered throughout the halls, but he just nonchalantly goes to bed and totally ignores it, which makes me think it's a lie, until a good-looking pants half-unzipped crazy woman knocks on the door asking for food and wanted him to come see the blood in her room.
Uh-huh.
And I'm leaning towards that one being the lie. But story two, he used to work as an elementary school teacher for totally non-malicious reasons, and he did hook up with some prime girl teachers, and one time this hot married MILF came in and gave him mouth love after school let out, and he left his mark on the carpet to be immortalized in Encino forever.
I love how you put that.
I was just thinking, I fucking hate the term mouth love, because you're talking about the same act, like, you know, like blowjob is just not even that bad of words together.
It was more an intimate situation. I could see in his eyes that it was more of a mouth love than just a job.
It was a career.
That was Austin telling me to fuck off. Like, look, bitch.
This is hard. I want to believe that you got a blowjob.
I also want to believe that's what she said when you pulled it out. Aw. Thank you.
Aw. Now she's like, now I got to commit. What grade was the little girl in?
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade. Okay.
Everybody online is saying a second story is the lie so far, but I'm still sticking with the first story.
I don't know.
Wait,
yeah.
Second story was the blowjob, right?
Right.
Yeah. He got the beach, dude, for sure.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that first story is just a little too wild. I think something like that may have happened. I think maybe some shit's gone down that he could have kind of compiled to make this story. Like, shit's gone down, I mean, in places you've stayed on the road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like he probably walked up on a murderer scene at a hotel, but they didn't let him in, you know? They still had crime tape in the 80s, I think. I wasn't there, but I'm pretty sure.
He did throw in the old corner bar.
The old point. You know, you got an old point there.
But he did say the drip, too.
Yeah, it's a fun story, but there's too many, like, why the fuck would that have gone down like that things? When in a similar era, right, is when the blowjob thing went down. That all checks out to me.
Did you clean the blood off the door?
Somebody else did. Somebody came through the next day and cleaned it up. It didn't happen in my room. It happened in the next door room is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I didn't want to mislead you. When you said the crime scene, I got in. No, you're right. The hallway was a crime scene because there was blood on each door, but it happened next door.
Mm.
And somebody came by the next day and cleaned up.
Lindsay Worth is chiming in, says that the bloody wall story is a lie, but says the mom slurpee, totally true.
I'm going to say mom slurpee is a lie. And I'm only going to say that because I think maybe it wasn't a crime scene in the first story. I don't think it was a crime scene. Maybe just the guy was diabetic and hit a vein. I don't know.
And then ran door to door to make sure everyone got a piece.
Or he was headlining Halloween weekend or something.
Yeah.
It was two people that just came from a GWAR concert, and they were just wiping their...
So maybe it was just like an unfortunate event. And then, you know, somebody came and cleaned it up the next day, like he says.
Oops. Leah thinks that the blowjob story is a lie for no particular reason, but Dark Star says that fifth grade fellatio is false.
Oh, so he agrees.
Well, first of all, I hate the word fellatio.
What word for penis job do you like?
No, just because my name is Felicia and everything.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe everyone just went, like you didn't figure it. Like, I was like, yeah, I can see why you'd hate that.
I had no idea.
You knew that already?
Well, when she said, yeah, I mean, her name is Felicia. She said, I don't like Felicia. It's probably because she got made fun of when she was a little kid.
Felicio.
Yeah.
Felicio.
As soon as you learn that word in grade school, it's like, that means putting dicks in a mouth.
All right, we are going off the tracks. Here's the thing. I know you met a girl that had been your student on a gig because I think you tell that part of the story in your act, right?
Yes. I do.
See, I'm paying attention.
You
to
are
me.
Paying attention.
So that part I believe, but that could also just be a tag. And Tiffany was a big name in the 80s.
It was. It was.
But if she was in fifth grade, what year was this?
I want to say 1982. 1982.
So
that's before Tiffany broke out.
Yeah, right. but her name was Tiffany. And so I think a lot of kids, girls were named Tiffany at that time.
Well, I was born in 84.
Uh-huh.
And
your middle name's Tiffany.
Your middle name is Tiffany?
No.
Okay. Sorry. I'm going to say the first story is a lie. The blowjob story is true. I know I'm wrong, though. I know I'm wrong.
I don't think the blowjob is true.
But you're the one that said the tape. The tape on the crime scene.
Yeah, but I don't think it was a crime scene. I think maybe he was just throwing that, saying it was. Maybe he thought it was a crime scene, but I don't think it was. Or there would have been police. He would have said there was not just a coroner there. He would have said there was police and. Lights.
Yeah,
and
but
all
if,
kinds
it's,
of,
well, if the coroner's there,
if the coroner's leaving, that means everyone else is already gone because the coroner is the last one to show up. And then,
what time did you leave that place, and what time did you come back? I mean, what was the span of time?
My guess is we probably came back about 12:30, you know, midnight.
And what time did you leave?
Probably usually get picked up at 7:30 for the 8 o'clock show. So you do the show and then you go to the old point.
Can't get into that old point, huh?
If you're trying to figure out why it took so long, it's because
the old point, just go back. Slow service.
Old point.
All right, I'm gonna say the first story is a lie, and the blowjob story is true. Because you were a cutie pie, and you were a cutie pie.
Do we have to say it so past
time? I know.
No.
You used to be a guy that could definitely, I could see maybe a passerby winking in your direction or something.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I mean, you know, we're around the same age.
I know.
Not really, but sort of.
Wait, so what are the votes? I got to know which one. I think the blowjob happened.
I do, too. I think the blowjob happened. I think the first one is.
I'm with that.
And the reason I believe it happened is because she never talked to you again. You know, I think, and no, as a mom, I think you would do something that, and then that night never. You'd be like, I was really pissed at my husband. I can't let that slip, that behavior slip out again.
Well, have you ever been so happy with a teacher? One of your kids' teachers?
My kid is learning so much.
Yeah. It was that wasn't a happiness blowjob. That is, I'm mad at my husband blowjob.
Well, it was Encino, and the kids would look a little goofy, and you'd see the mom, and mama's drop dead gorgeous. And then you'd see the dad, and he was out making all kinds of cash and just kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Worn hard. So, yeah. It was, she was slumming it, and she was pissed.
Yeah.
And the way he's saying this story is creepy.
Well, it's a creepy story. He's creepy. Like, you know?
But the first story wasn't creepy, and now it just. He just kept,
It wasn't creepy how he told the first story without any fucking emotion.
No.
About his terrible. That didn't frighten
you? And then the police asked me my whereabouts, and I was uncooperative.
Okay. All right, so everyone that thinks a blowjob story is true, raise your hand. Michael, all right, so it's us four against you two, and what about online?
It seems to be split right down the middle.
Okay, so which story is the lie?
The lie?
Yes.
Is the blowjob.
Really? Really?
Hey, wait, were you ever blown by a parent as a teacher?
Were you ever
as
blown?
No.
You know what, man? I wanted that to be true for you. One of us should blow you right now.
Yes. I'm telling you, the way he was telling that second story was like,
yeah, because it's Jimmy talking about the time he got his dick sucked.
Jimmy's the cleanest comic on the planet Earth.
More importantly, what the fuck happened at that house you were staying at with all the blood?
Yeah, I
never really. It was just
wow.
Was the coroner really there?
The coroner was really there.
Well, that's insane.
Away when we
and you're like, haha. Okay, I'm gonna go to bed now.
Yeah,
blood on my door.
Wow.
Apparently, you didn't watch a lot of horror movies in the 80s. You're like going upstairs to investigate things. Like
you, I recounted everything I could remember, but it'd been a long time ago.
Yeah.
It sounds weird. Because you're right. There shouldn't have been able to go up on the floor.
But unless like what you said, it's not a crime scene.
It wasn't a crime scene.
There was an incident. They tore sort of. But if the coroner's there, somebody died. So if somebody died and they're telling this woman she had to stay somewhere.
Yeah, but how do we know it wasn't a dog?
Ah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, because coroners come out.
Because it came out supposedly she
was. The coroner would go, can you just go bury that behind the hotel?
Am I wrong?
It came out of right. She was
so somebody
of
died.
Going up and down the hallway beating on doors looking for help and stuff.
So
what
she
if it was
an
old person?
Maybe it was someone who tried to kill themselves or something.
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe I could Google it.
No,
not during the show. Well, I guess you could now.
No, I mean after the show.
You guys,
don't worry, I'll be Googling it for sure.
Indianapolis. Murder in the Winter House
near the old Corner Point.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget that detail.
Yeah, gay feature comic staying downstairs.
Gay feature child molesting comic. Yeah. That's the headline. Yeah. The murder is like second. Like, oh, interesting.
All right.
Okay, you Google that. I'll Google teacher blowjob.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sure you'll get a lot more fun
I'm
images.
Sure, it's not
on
the first
end.
Time, Austin. Anyway, so anyway.
Pornhub pops up.
I'm having a lot of fun today, and I want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast and being most excellent guests. Don't you think, Jessica?
Yes, most excellent.
Excellent
hey, Bill
guests.
And Ted. All right.
Is there anything you guys want to pitch or sell, or you got dates coming up? What do you got shaking? Social media.
John, you got it all hanging.
No,
I need to learn to zip
hanging.
Up my pants.
He only has one.
Yeah, not all of it, just one.
You got stuff going on. I'm just at the Ice House for right now.
I'm going to be headlining the Tempe Improv on Sunday, October 6th.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Very
so
nice.
So you can find me there.
Very nice. And Jimmy?
I'm getting spots at the Ice House again.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good for you. Jimmy's a most excellent MC. He's from being so...
Been there since 1997.
Yeah.
You're totally excellent. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know how to reward me.
Michael, what do you have shaking and coming up lately?
I have... You know what? I'm so excited to plug the 25th... Day after tomorrow, we've got the Ice House... Or no, sorry, the Belly Room here at the Comedy Store. The lineup is insane. It's some of the best comics on the planet.
Tim Dillon, Laura Beitsch, Sam Tripoli, Nagai Obelum, and one more that
Neil
I don't
Brennan.
Have.
Mary Basmajian.
Yeah. Basmajian.
And our crew, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jessica's
yeah.
going to be there. She's been to France.
and now the belly room.
Yeah, you want to come learn something.
10 p.m. 10 p.m., not 8 p.m. It's a later show.
Well, it's 10:30.
10:30 p.m., yeah. even later than
it
that.
It opens up at 10. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sam Tripoli's on that show. It's really going to be a great lineup, and I'm super stoked.
Can I promote one more thing really quick? Sorry.
May.
I have a web series called My Jesus Death Co., which is about which is about a Grim Reaper that if you guys could check out, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, good. And what about you, Austin?
I'm at the Austin Walker on everything. Also put October 29th on your calendar because that's the next time we're at the Belly Room. Follow our Instagram, The Liars Club 1, and Twitter, Liars_Club. And subscribe to us on YouTube after you get done with us on the Comedy Store here if you can.
Please.
And go Gators.
For myself, if you guys have Amazon Prime, sorry to be this person, can you please go and watch Purrs, my documentary that Ooh. I made, and leave a review? I'm very proud of it. Not only that, but recently my one-woman show / comedy special is now on Amazon Prime, premiered, and it was something that was very dear to my heart, and I worked on like a dog. And so if you guys could watch that and leave a review, that would be awesome. And yes, please come if you're in the Los Angeles area. In 2 days, we'll be at here at the Comedy Store in the mm-hmm. Belly Room.
Yep, and October 12th at the Ice House.
And follow me all across the board. Follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't really have anything else.
The end.
Follow me at Jess Wellington 2, and you have been lied to.
I think we're in
It's just a cover of them.
I'm not telling that
one. Disney believe you. The real liar. Please stand up.
She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.